So I went to Goodwill this morning, not because I need to shop at Goodwill, but because I didn't want to spend a lot of money on curtain rods, and I figured they'd have some, but they didn't. So while I was there, I decided to go down the kitchen aisle, and I found a Calphalon 2-quart pot with lid for $7.
Is that a lot?
Welcome to One Beer, One Song.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, Russ.
Welcome to One Beer, One Song, the world's premier internet podcast about the Atlanta Braves.
I bought the shit out of that Calphalon pot. I love Calphalon, and post-divorce, you're like cobbling together your kitchen back together, and I've slowly done it with Calphalon, a piece here, but to get a 2-quart Calphalon with lid, $7.
Seems like a big pot.
Did you make a spreadsheet to narrow down the first soup you're going to make in that pot?
Not yet. I came straight here after that. That's not true. I went to Target after that.
I'm sure you did.
Which is where I bought the curtain rods.
Welcome to the One Beer, One Song Atlanta Braves podcast, where each week we talk about a beer, sometimes multiple beers, sometimes multiple songs.
An elevator company is moving into the Battery, and they're going to build the largest complex in Cobb, because as an elevator company, I guess you got to show off your wares.
ThyssenKrupp, yep. Mm-hmm. I did like the quote from that politician who was like, this is going to be the crown jewel of Cobb County. We're like, the crown jewel of Cobb County is the America's tallest elevator testing facility.
It's not the big chicken.
So this is a very special episode. It is our midsummer equinox episode where we
balance an egg.
The most important subject here in these United States.
My dating life.
Russ's dating life and Goodwill kitchen purchases, which is...
Ladies!
This is some... This is some serious, we have a guest. We're going to talk about college football. And so you can't do that and be credible as a podcast without Mr. Kidd.
Hello. Our college football correspondent.
College football correspondent.
Oh, nice. This thing is more and more becoming like The Daily Show, which is what I really wanted it to be.
Wait, there you go. Wait, yeah. What? No,
you just said I was credible. Come on.
He said you were credible.
Yeah, he is credible. I'm going to need you to credibly back off the mic about 1 inch.
Sorry about that.
Wait, no, you're good.
That's about this big, right?
I hate hearing that.
It's huge. He's on the other side.
I hear way too much. Anyway.
So cool. We're going to drink some beers. We might eat a snack.
Snacks.
Probably not going to listen to a song because songs are dumb. Let's get right to it. Russ, what are you spilling on the floor over there?
Foamy because you shook them up before you put them in the ice bath. Yes. This is
video.
Southern Brewing Company. They're from Athens. Have you been to Athens?
A couple times.
I spent the best years of my life in Athens.
So this is interesting. I bought this beer about a half an hour ago at Swab, which longtime listeners will know is my local liquor store. There's so much beer now that every single time I go to the beer store, I see not only a brewery that I've never heard of before, but a brewery in Georgia that I've never heard of before.
This brewery from a city that we're well acquainted with.
Sure.
And I have heard of them, but I have not had their stuff yet. And this is the first time I've seen their stuff.
So I was in the aisle and I'm looking at this massive great wall of beer and I'm thinking, like, what would be good to drink for a college football episode? And here's this can staring me in the face that says red and black. And the label is red and black. And then it says brewed in Athens, Georgia. And everyone knows that this is a Georgia football homer podcast. So I was like, well, and I put it right in the basket.
Berliner style sour ale aged on
raspberry.
It's sour. Early. It's early.
Hallelujah.
Aged on raspberries and blackberries. Handmade in Athens, GA. This is a can. It is, that's tiny font. 4.5 ABV, 11 IBUs, 12 ounces, or 355 milliliters for you metrically inclined. Bushels and bushels of berries. Stuff about don't drink this if you're getting pregnant. They have the independent sticker on their thingy. And then we poured it into glasses. It is a purplish magenta.
Fruit juice.
Yeah, it's cloudy.
It's cloudy.
There's got some floaters in there.
Trust you on the color. The head's got a nice colory tint to it, too. It's like pinkish.
It's a white with
lavender.
Ooh. Kit, what do you see?
I'm not really a nerd, but all I can think about is if Scarlet Witch from the Avengers drank a beer, it'd be this one. Because it's the same color as everything that she wears.
Because she's dating me?
Yeah, I like Scarlet Witch, though.
What do you get in the nose? The nose, okay, this is a Berliner style.
Yep.
I get yeast, like a pastry crust.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, which I didn't expect to get that.
Could you be... Is the yeast a function of the berry aroma? And then you're like,
I smell the berries separately.
Berry turnip. turnover.
I smell a berry turnover. Oh, man. This is like a tartar version of Dr. Robot by Monday Night Brewing.
You know what's interesting?
And a little yeastier.
I drank the first sip and I was like, that's real sweet and not tart enough. And then I drank the second sip. I was like, oh, that's tart.
No, that's tart.
Yeah.
Tasty.
It is tasty. Tasty. So what are the, this is a college football episode and I don't have any college football content ready.
So, okay. UGA is coming off appearing, in the most thrilling game that I've ever seen live in my life, the Rose Bowl. And then they go to play for the national championship a week later, and it goes to the wire of all wires, and we lose.
UGA was leading or tied the every single play of the national championship except one.
The last one. So
that's pretty good. That's like a, you get like a 97 is still a pretty damn good grade.
Yeah. but you're still, as a Georgia fan, left with a sour taste in your mouth, kind of.
Here's what's interesting to me is, obviously that was gut-wrenching, but I think that we were all emotionally prepared for that after the Falcons Super Bowl. Because when it happened, I was like, oh, I've seen this movie before, turned the TV off, and went about my life.
And as Georgia fans, we are always preparing to lose by the newest, most exquisite ways. Mm-hmm. So after winning at Notre Dame, winning the Rose Bowl, losing to Auburn, then coming back to beat Auburn in the SEC championship game, it was kind of like, oh yeah, we were due. It's fine. It's fine. And we just immediately go up and go back to work the next day. So my questions are this. Roquan Smith's gone.
Mm-hmm. He was fast.
That man scared me. And someone was stupid enough to break into his car after the season and steal like UGA memorabilia out of his car. I'm like, do you really want that man looking for you?
No.
No!
You cannot get away fast enough.
That is the scariest thing I could say. So what does UGA have to look forward to this season, and what are our weaknesses?
I will tell you the very first thing that I would be looking forward to is literally having any other game played aside from the last one. That's first and foremost, right?
Explain that.
So keep in mind, we have not played a football game since 2nd and 26 and Alabama wins. And so, very much like the Falcons, you're going to have these incessant questions about how the team is doing, how do they recover, is the loss in the national championship going to stick with them, and everything like that. So the only way to overcome that is to go and make new news, right? The only way that you do that is you go out there and you play God's honest, hit him in the mouth football.
We're going to do that against Austin Peay. Hell yeah.
Yes, sir. If you compare the Falcons Super Bowl and Georgia's lost national championship game, they say, and I'm using my fancy air quotes, they say that the team that loses in the Super Bowl almost never has a good season the next year. They just say it's mentally, for those guys, it's impossible. You expect a letdown. But you look at perennial contenders like, I don't want to say Alabama, but then I don't want to say, is Clemson a perennial contender now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do those kind of teams, do they have fall off years after losing a national championship game?
I mean, where's Clemson now, right? I mean, I don't mean that as in like Clemson's not a good football team.
Clemson's fine. They're going to be fine.
Well, exactly. But was Clemson back in the national championship last year? No, they weren't, right? Yeah. And that was after losing to Alabama in the previous year, right? And then in the year prior, winning that. Right, so Clemson hasn't won in 2 years after they won a national championship.
Well, then
they lose
the
national championship, and then they don't make the playoffs.
It's all transactional. Yeah. You haven't won one in 2 years.
But it's not even a mindset thing. A lot of it has to do with the reason that teams win national championships is because they're loaded with talent. And usually, what ends up happening is that talent, especially in college football, is older, juniors and seniors. And if they're good enough to go to the NFL and make a, you know, absolute metric ton of money, then they will go and opt to do that.
And are you really competing for playing time at the pro level like you are in college?
No, you're playing primarily on the pro level based upon how big your contract is, which is why people
I got a
that
huge
are
huge contract.
Not the word on the street.
I've heard about it.
It's long and distinguished.
Question. How many home runs is Dale Murphy going to hit this year?
I think he's going to go yard at least twice.
That's a really good article by Wright Thompson, by the way. People haven't read that yet.
Why are you flicking me off?
I'm not. I was scratching my eye.
With your middle finger while looking at me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If it's not Alabama and Georgia, Who's your dark horse in the national championship game?
In the national championship, I mean, Clemson's team is actually really good. They are going to be really good this year. Oklahoma's going to be good again. Too. I don't know about angry, because how do you get angry at the ACC? Nobody in the ACC is going to.
What was that
mad.
One awful loss they had last year, where Dabo went into the opposing team locker room after the game and said, "You whipped us up and down the field. Congratulations, way to go." It's one of the classier things I've seen. And it's why I like Dabo Swinney.
I want to say it's Boston College. I don't remember
Boston what I'm talking College? About.
There was a huge... See, I think
there
they
was
got
a massive
chip
upset.
On yeah.
And it might have even been Wake Forest, because they were really good last year, too. Or good, not good, but surprising.
No. Right.
But, I mean, you know what's really funny is that there's a lot of tumultuousness right now.
Tumultuousness.
And,
yes. I like that.
It was...
I think it's tumult is the word. I don't
tumult.
Know.
Tumult. It's like when Russ had falsities a few weeks ago. I like that.
Falsities
one.
Is a word.
Falsities. Falsehoods?
That, sure.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not nitpicking.
People
I love
assume
you.
I listen to these. I absolutely do not. And I question people that do. I'm like,
I get it. Trust me. I never listen back to my episodes. And when they come on with the ones that I saved back from the doggone podcast days, it's an immediate skip. I don't want to hear it. It's awful.
It's not awful.
The L you were looking for in Clemson's season last year was Syracuse.
Oh, that's right.
24-27.
I forgot all about them playing at Syracuse. And then Syracuse didn't win another football game, right. I don't think, for the rest
so
of the year.
So it was a bad loss.
It was a really bad loss. But, I mean, long story short, Clemson, I think, is primed to have a good year. I think that Miami actually is going to have a good year. I really do.
Ohio State's always going to be an
Ohio
problem.
State's always going to be up there. I suspect Oregon is actually going to be surprisingly good. Not great, but good.
So fast.
You think Chip Kelly's going to do anything at UCLA?
No.
So here's a
UCLA perennial.
And actually, you
sucks.
Were correct. Syracuse beat Clemson on October 13th and then L'd their way out of the season at Miami, at Florida State, Wake at home, at Louisville, and Boston College at home.
They were awful.
I had a recent run-in with Neil Hondo Williamson of the UGA broadcast. Nice. I showed up. I didn't show up. I purchased a ticket.
You showed up at Neil's house?
Right. I said, hey,
what
Neil,
are you doing here?
Hondo! I went to the Book of Mormon last week at the Fox.
For like the 19th time?
Shut up. And fourth. It was my third and fourth times. It's the best show.
You went twice in 1 week?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm committed.
Russ, ladies and gentlemen.
Why does this surprise people? I have
it's
rules.
Not, I'm just, it's your... The things that are on brand for you are not that surprising, but you're so consistent.
Thank you. I try really hard. So I sit down, and I used an old connection to get a great seat. I'm sixth row back. And this husband and wife and child come in, and so I stand up to let them in. They're like, hey, he goes, have you seen this show? I'm like, this is my fourth time. He goes, oh, this is our first. We're really excited. I'm like, are you offended by anything? He goes, no, I don't think so. I said, okay. And he goes, well, I'm Neil Williamson. I'm like, I'm Russ. It's nice to meet you. And then, like, I put the voice, so I quickly Google him while he's sitting next to me. And I'm like, oh, that's his face. That's Neil. I'm like, Hondo? He goes, yeah. I'm like, hi, I'm Russ. Season ticket holder from the past, and UJ fan. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. So we chat just a little bit at intermission and for a split second after the show. The only thing he knew about me was Russ and I had worked at the Fox Theater. I had a LinkedIn invite from him the next day.
Wow. Savvy. Like, savvy networking.
Man, what? And he works for, I think, Cox Communications. And then his UJ stuff is his hobby. I'm like, that's an intense hobby, Neil.
Yeah.
He goes, well, you know, we have our fun. And he told a really cute story. He said, you know, Eric Zier, he's like a broadcast color guy. He goes, he's my best friend. And we got to go to the Rose Bowl. Did you go? I said, yeah, I went, but it's not probably nearly as great of a good time as you had. He goes, yeah, we got there. And Eric looks at me like a little kid and goes, Hondo, we got to take a selfie with the Rose Bowl sign. And I was like, how cute and adorable is that? And then I said, I was kind of scrolling through Twitter at the time. I said, oh, look, did you see what Mark Richt did at the ACC? I said, he talked about how to approach Thanksgiving dinner. He goes, what? I said, well, you don't know about the 10-bite sandwich from last year, do you? He goes, what are you talking about? I said, last year at ACC Media Days, Mark Richt drew a sandwich and told people, explained and diagrammed out how to eat a perfect sandwich in 10 bites. Neil looked at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, and this year he told the reporters how to approach Thanksgiving dinner. He goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. So I sent him the leaks. He was like, oh, okay, yep, that's so Mark Richt. But we talked about Coach Richt. I said, I miss him. I miss his stand-upness. I miss, like, the man. who was kind of leading us. He goes, I miss him too, but I'll tell you this, Kirby's as equally a stand-up guy as Mark Richt was. I said, seriously? He's like, it's completely different wound-up package, but absolutely a stand-up man. I was like, okay. So
I'm sold.
Huh?
I'm sold.
Yeah, I mean,
aside from the winning and everything like that, and the exceptional recruiting and all that, now I'm really sold.
Well, I'd like to know that the people leading these college athletes are decent human beings.
Exactly. Like 100%.
I don't think Greg McGarrity is a good human being.
No, he sucks.
I think he lied. Well, I don't think I can point out times in which he has lied to the press, which is us, about things about our university and our teams, and that upsets me. So,
but okay, let's pause the Georgia, like, emotional angst tornado here for a second, and just, you know,
we'll, I'm not angsty.
Let's mix things up a little bit. I actually started like browsing Twitter while you were talking. So,
Position of host is always open.
No, that's good stuff.
Okay, well, you had a question. Who's going to win the MAC this year?
Well, I was just kind of trying to seed the Twitter thing. I was curious what MAC team would actually make the playoff. I don't have any.
I mean, always watch out for the Toledo Rockets.
Toledo, yeah.
So we had questions on the Bookface and Twitter. This is from Kit's friend Banshee, Banshee Radio. I'd love to hear you talk about the direction of UGA defense next year, especially any standout players to look for. Also stoked to hear you back on the podcast circuit.
Mm.
Kit's kind of a big deal if you guys didn't realize that.
I don't necessarily feel like I'm back. I feel like Bill Paxton and Twitter. I'm not, or not Twitter, but Twister. I'm not back, you know? Anyway, which I agree with Tony that Bill Paxton's best role was in Weird Science.
Hands down. Hands down.
In what movie?
Weird Science.
What is that?
You're Stew, buttwad.
I'm not Stew.
Oh my God. Weird Science is wall-to-wall A one-liners. Like, it is... I'm sure I've made this joke before, but it's like Fruity Pebbles, but not Fruity Pebbles. Lucky Charms, but only marshmallows. Like, that's the content in Weird Science.
How do you compare that to that police movie you like?
Super Troopers?
Yeah. Because Super Troopers is stacked with full one-liners.
They're up there. They're in the same class of like people that have hosted SNL five times.
The Five Timers Club?
Right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're great.
Yeah.
You're great.
See, I was worried that you wouldn't get that, so I'm glad Kit was here to pick up the pieces.
No, he nailed it.
And the correct response is no, you're great.
I hate this. So what was the question? It was about Georgia's defense?
Yeah, yeah. So defensively, here's the problem with the defense. We're exceptionally thin on the defensive line. We've got good players. You know, Tyler Clark being one. Julian Rochester is going to be another one. And the age of those players are really not bad. Couple of juniors, senior. And then from an outside linebacker and inside linebacker standpoint, we're okay there. So even though losing Roquan Smith kind of sucks and you know, it just some of the depth problems that we have, we've got a lot of talent. What's really going to shine is our cornerbacks. So J.R. Reed, I think, he's the one that plays the star position.
Is that like Mario Brothers?
So the star position is kind of like a hybrid linebacker safety. So too fast and too thin to be a linebacker, but too small and kind of frame-wise to be too fast and too thin to be a
safety,
a linebacker. Uh-huh. With a smaller frame, but they're not big enough to be a linebacker. Mm. And are not slow enough. Like, linebackers are kind of like run stuffers.
I hope he's not listening to this because
this is terrible. So I'm trying to figure out the best way to explain it, but a star position is just both. He's a hybrid, right? Not a linebacker because he's too small. He's not a safety because, honestly, he's too big and probably not quite fast enough.
What if
Roquan Smith was star for us last year?
What if you put him in like either linebacker or safety and he just like tries real hard?
That probably is what happened, right?
It would be good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, but that's the thing. So he can cover, right? So his primary job is to see whether it's pass or run. And if it's run, go stop said run. And if it's pass, find out who.
When you said that, I imagine him like kind of hovering, like skulking around in the mid backfield, figuring out if it's a pass or a run. And then when he figures it out, he just stands up and he's like, "It's pass, you guys. It's pass, everyone. It's pass." and that's it.
That's kind of what happens. Because if you see him running towards somebody very fast, it's a run because he's going to go tackle them. But if you see him backing up a couple of steps at first, it's a pass. And so, but that's his job. His job is to figure out what's going on in the play with the whole run pass option offenses and everything like that. And so he's a headhunter. He just finds out where the ball is most likely to go and he just goes and gets them, which is, by the way, the point of defense just in general, right? But his role is
go to ball.
Yeah, go to ball, knock him down. But that is his primary role. Like he's the Terminator in that regard.
Is he conducting the orchestra on the defensive side of the ball?
Sometimes. Okay. It's usually one of the smarter players on defense in that regard. But so a lot of the times also the linebackers are kind of the quarterback of the defense and whoever's the inside linebacker in particular. But long story short, J.R. Reed is going to be in the star position this year. Roquan played it some last year. He was primarily an inside linebacker. He played it some. But J.R. Reed is a first-team All-SEC. He could be, by the time it's said and done, really, really raking in some accolades by the end of the year. But the name to watch is Richard LeCount. When Kirby came on board. I know, right? When Kirby came on board, he was the linchpin of that recruiting class, which was the same recruiting class as Jake Fromm and all those other guys.
All-State.
Yeah, he is incredibly athletically talented and big and just tall and lanky and exceptionally fast. And honestly, he could shine, but he's young. Right now, it's just a redshirt freshman. So,
but with the changes to the redshirt rules, we could see him play more.
We're going to see a lot of people play more with the new change because you can play up to 4 games. And still keep your red shirt. So it's almost like an audition for the first part of the year. Or if somebody gets hurt and you need to play them with the last 2 games, last 3 games or whatever, you don't have to burn the red shirt.
You come in with your headshot, you give the sheet music to the piano player, they play the first chord, and then they get tackled. That's the audition. I like
it. I like it. Yep. Yeah, that's great.
We have a question.
Hey, before we do a question, because we're 20 minutes in, let's do a snack.
All right, snacks. What'd you bring us?
Because I'm hungry. We're going to do a little comparison. And
so Kit brought American Cheetos.
Kit, and yes, we have American Cheetos, and then from my last trip to Toronto, I bought back some Cheesies, Hawkins Cheesies, made with real cheddar cheese, and there's like maple leaves on the thing. It's Canadian AF, and there's French on it too.
I'll read that. Fromage cheddar.
So we're going to do the American ones first, because my hypothesis is that the Canadian ones are going to be better. The bag is like old-timey, like clear plastic, so you can actually see the...
No, hold on. We'll get to the Hawkins things in a second. You actually have Cheetos from Canada.
Yes? No. These are both American.
Oh, I thought your Cheetos were Canadian.
No.
Kits were American, and this Hawkins thing was just for giggles.
No. The comparison is between these American ones and...
You're the worst.
It's true. I try real hard. So we'll pass these around. These American ones.
I think we need to start with the American because that's what we know.
That's what I'm saying is the hypothesis is that the Canadian ones will be better. So let's do those second.
There's a joke about a guy going to a doctor and his fingers are, he says his penis is orange. It turns out the guy's been eating Cheetos while masturbating.
I know that's not the best delivery of that joke, but
I wasn't
I'm
trying.
Familiar with that joke. All right. Okay. These taste like Cheetos.
Yeah. Good. Consistent.
I don't know, like...
You can definitely taste the cheese.
Well, that was my question. Does it taste like actual cheese, or does it taste like what we've been conditioned to think cheese-flavored flavor dust tastes like?
Look at what Kraft Mac and Cheese did. Was it 2-3 years ago? They swapped out all of the questionable ingredients and just kept producing it and didn't tell anybody until it had been like 6 months later. Like, yeah, you guys are still buying the same amount. You didn't notice, and we made it better.
I get that.
Here's the Canadian ones.
All right, we're doing the Hawkins
now,
Cheesies.
These are larger in size compared to Cheetos.
Way more girth.
Yeah, girthier. The lengths are comparable, but...
Dustier.
Mmm. Okay. The Canadian ones taste like cheese balls. Remember when those were a thing? They came in the tube?
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of cheese dust this reminds me of, is cheese balls. These don't taste like Cheetos. They taste like cheese balls, but with a tougher texture than Cheetos.
Yeah, these are good. Bigger, they're fatter, they're dustier, they're cheesier. They're Canadian. I don't know what that.
You can really really feel Kurdish. I don't think these would go good in poutine.
That's a good question.
Because doesn't everything Canadian have to be poutineable?
No.
I mean, let me be clear. I'm the fattest one here by far. And if you're going to tell me you're going to take that and put gravy on it, buddy, I'm in. No. I'm in.
Yeah. I'm thinking of something like in a to-go format, like a cup.
Yeah.
With like, you fill it full of Cheetos and then you just top it off with gravy or whatever and you just drink it.
No, I want to have the dipping experience.
While you're driving. You can just dump it in your mouth while you're driving.
I will tell
you. And doesn't everybody do that?
I have Cheetos at my house and I only eat them out of a cup, even if I'm at home.
What?
This way I don't have to touch the Cheetos.
Really leaning into the brand now, I see. Milking it.
I wish that was false. I wish I could make that up, but it's true. And only a solo cup.
Why? Why?
I solo don't know. Cups?
You
I
don't
have
to wash it.
I don't know.
You just throw it away.
I have a whiskey glass I use.
He has to be able to throw it away to just erase the shame.
Why do you hate Cheetos so much?
If you wash the glass, you have to face the reality again.
Here I am eating this Cheetos out of a solo cup again.
All right, hit us with another question.
This is odd. This lets us know that, Tony, this sham of a show has gone global. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook message from Keys, and I apologize, Keys, if I'm mispronouncing your last name, Kudenberg. But he says, okay, one college football question from Europe. Why?
Ooh, what a great question, Keys.
Just why college football?
I kind of agree with him. Like, I get guilty feelings watching college football these days.
I'm going to say I think that because, like, football people are so angry that they have to pay players in the NFL that they're like, I want a league where we don't have to give anybody shit, like, where they just destroy their bodies and then that's it.
America.
Right. I don't know. That's a dark hype. You know.
The rest of Key's message was really nice. And P.S., the lager episode was the best. Worst beer, worst music ever, most fun. Smiley face. Keep up the good work. And when you're in the Netherlands, come and visit. Sincerely, Keys.
I'd take issue with him saying that Beach Trap House is the worst song ever. That is the greatest song ever. Keys.
It's better than anything you've brought to this podcast.
What's the Netherlands ever done for anybody?
I don't know, but I thought it was... But it did you nice. Boost that post worldwide? You have to choose a location.
No, just the U.S.
Wow.
Because all the for way that from exact the reason, because I was like, anyone that I talk to in, you know, America is becoming very soccery. And like when I talk to people not from here and I'm just like, and they're like, well, it's getting big. And I'm like, well, in the South. And I'm like, college football is big. And they're like, what's that? They're just like, what? I'm wherever you're like.
College who?
Like amateur football? Like,
it's so soccerish. Chris Barber, fan of the show and part-time engineer, can a law be passed to prevent the words Roll Tide from being blurted out every time the word Alabama is spoken in any context?
I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I mean, I'm okay with it, and I'm even married to an Alabama fan, which was especially hard come January last year. But
What state would pass that law first?
Tennessee.
Yeah. That's a true story.
I was thinking like Vermont or Oregon, but yeah, you're right. It's going to be like Mississippi or Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. If you broke it down into a county, Auburn would run to the polls that day. But
that's true.
If you have to do it by state, then it has to be Tennessee.
Right.
Or Ohio.
Yeah, that too.
Ohio. Tua T. Not Tua T, but Tua first name.
What's his last name? Say it.
Incredibly unpopular opinion for this kid. This is from retweet, especially since he was credited with being the catalyst of UGA's loss in the college football national championship. But I tend to think Tua T is incredibly overhyped. Go on.
I do. And I think his last name, the way he pronounces is...
No, that's literally how you spell it.
Tua Tagovailoa.
You just
Tagovailoa.
You literally just had a capital T.
Because I can't spell it. I can halfway say it. I know there's a G in there.
Which is how I know.
There's a V in there and a couple of L's. Maybe one L.
Tagovailoa.
Is he Greek?
Yeah. No, he's Hawaiian.
Mm.
But here's the thing. So the reason that Tua came in there and led such a effective second half is because who schemes for quarterback change in a national championship game when the other team is used one starting quarterback all season long. That's so true. you don't scheme for, well, what if we see the backup? Why would you see the backup? The starting guy's got you there all season long, then, and he's not hurt.
And
right?
Jalen Hurts is really good.
Yeah, and he's good. I think,
and he can squat 600 pounds.
Athletically, the guy's a freak.
That video that went around Twitter, like, I don't know, in the spring or something.
The bar was bending, right?
Well, it was like a GoPro on the weight bar, and everyone's cheering, and so you're seeing, like, not his view, but whatever. It's riding down with him, and he's just like, down and up, 600 pounds. It's like, oh, yeah, your quarterback can squat 600 pounds. Holy crap.
He must work out.
My argument about Jalen Hurts not being that great, and let's also keep in mind that Alabama's never really had great quarterbacks.
Right.
Ever, right? So
kickers.
Or kickers, especially kickers. But the thing about Tua is that nobody was prepared for Nick Saban in a game where the quarterback's not hurt to make that switch. Who has the balls to make that switch? Yeah. I mean, honestly. And so what it comes down to is that he comes in there, and combine that with Georgia never being in that spot in the last 30 plus years, for the record, right, is in a national championship game. And what do? They try to white knuckle everything, and they stop playing in the second half the same way that they played in the first half. And especially with a guy that they'd never seen any not seen any tape on, but wasn't prepared for. So Georgia gets conservative. Alabama gets ultra aggressive with a guy that they'd have, you know, haven't schemed for. And that's what led to it. And it's not because Tua is this god awesome, like Tim Tebow-esque type of, like, you know, immortal figure. It's because he's the new guy. And I promise you, just watch. You give him 2 years and he will not be the same as he ever was in that national championship game. He'll never look that good.
Mm.
Because people will watch him. They will expect him. And I don't even know if he'll start this year, but he'll be starting by the end of the year, and he'll be playing next year.
I would like for him to sit this year and then get super mad and transfer. He'd be like, got you all that title, but I wanted to play, so I'm out, and goes to, like,
what is the
Washington State or something.
Kit, people love it when we make chewing noises on the podcast. I have people text me personally to be like, I just stopped your podcast because I heard chewing noises. So watch Tony lean into this one. Go ahead.
I don't want to get Cheesy's Canadian Cheeto dust all over my pop filter.
Pop filter? I mean, I just admitted that I was the fattest person here. I didn't want people to know. As soon as I got done answering a question, I'm like, put those Cheesy's back in my mouth.
This question comes in from Coach Wink, one word, Advo-Fitness. I don't think that's his real name. But his question is, and Roll Tide will win another national championship. That's a statement, not a question, so we're moving on.
Well, I specifically Alabama said that opinions count as questions, but that's not a very creative question.
And Alabama will win another. My question is, based upon what? I mean, granted, I'm not saying that Alabama hasn't been a flat-out dynasty, and what really pisses me off about them coming back last year in that game is that it cemented that dynasty, very much like the Falcons completely falling apart cemented the Patriots as being one of the greatest dynasties of all time.
Yep.
Now Georgia helped give the honors over to Alabama by doing what they did. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but that's the way that it happens, right?
You mentioned the Patriots, so I just blanked out from rage for a split second. That is a fan base. Especially those in the South that buy into that franchise. I don't understand those people.
Yeah, I love that you see a car with like a Bama and a Patriots stickers on it, and it's like, what are you just okay?
Where are you from?
Nebraska? Well, guess what? Now they've got 4 Georgia players that I can think of right off the top of my head on their roster, of them will play, and most of them will start. And what do you do?
Morgan Will sent in a few questions here. Which of the mid-tier rivalry games would you most like to see?
Was this Georgia versus a mid-tier, or like mid-tier versus mid-tier?
I think mid-tier is how I'm reading it.
Hmm.
Does Army-Navy count as mid-tier?
No, that's Power 5.
Okay. I would love to. That's a bucket list game.
No?
Good shake.
Army is part of the... Army and Navy both are part of a much smaller conference. Mm. Even though Navy, if they had the chance, they would probably go to a bigger one.
Oh, but yeah, that's not Power 5. Duh.
I love the answer of Army Navy. That's one I'm going to say that's going to piss people off, Texas and Texas A&M.
Ooh, that's not mid-tier.
Feels like mid-tier lately, doesn't it?
A&M's in the SEC.
No,
doesn't
I
mean
know,
they don't suck.
Wow, that's... Wow.
I really don't like either of them.
No. And I know, and I just have this like sneaking suspicion that like Tom Herman is going to make Texas really good and annoying eventually. Like
they're annoying, go back yes. And, like
just problems.
I love Texas A&M. I think they're, and you and I have talked about this. Mm-hmm. They are perfect for the SEC.
Yep.
The traditions, the things they do, the Yell Boys. That band is fantastic.
Their fans are insane. Yeah.
Yes.
They're great.
Why don't you like them?
Well, I don't like Texas A&M specifically because of the way that they rallied around Johnny Manziel with all the problems that he had. I get it; he's your guy. But you don't celebrate people sucking, you know, just being like really crap people. And they did. They leaned into that very much the same way that Florida State did with Jameis Winston. And I can't stand that. It just makes me mad.
I understand that. That makes sense.
And so, and Texas is very much Notre Dame-esque in that Notre Dame is beautiful from all accounts. I didn't go to that game, but the word is that they were phenomenal and the facility was great and the people were awesome.
I have yet to hear one negative thing of anybody who went to that game from a Georgia perspective.
And I completely agree. But Notre Dame, the football team, I can't stand Brian Kelly. They still act as if they're relevant when they're not, and they don't win.
Well, their fans outside of South Bend are insufferable because yes. They're one of those huge programs where like you go to Europe and you see people wearing Packers and Cowboys and like Dodgers and Notre Dame stuff.
Well, I think that's great that they're self-identifying themselves as douchebags overseas.
But I say it is at mid-tier. I don't know if they mean like smaller conferences, but one game that's gone away that from teams that are always kind of middling that I would love to see come back is the Backyard Brawl,
which is
Pittsburgh, West Virginia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was always a great fantastic. Game every year.
I can't stand. I went to that Sugar Bowl that was played in Atlanta when it was Georgia, West Virginia, and we sat behind the West Virginia bench, and it was awful, absolutely horrific. People watching.
Yeah. I mean, look at that game, 2007. Like West Virginia beat Pitt and go to the national championship, and Pitt beat them. Like that was yeah.
But I do. I've gone on record. I love Pittsburgh, the city. That is a great. That's a great city. Next question from Morgan Will: which team do you expect to be most on brand this season?
On brand. Ooh. Well,
Phil Fulmer is back at Tennessee, right?
That's true.
Was athletic director?
No, come on.
But that means he can.
Oh, nice.
He can. He can
now
get
I
his.
See what you did.
He can get his stink on every sport. Like, yeah, for sure.
That will be awful, by the way, when it goes bad. Man. And it will go bad. Because Jeremy Pruitt is like, he's like every Alabama fan outside of Alabama, talking about people outside of the area, right? Jeremy Pruitt is the guy that's like, well, I come from Alabama and I come from Florida State and we won and I know what it takes to win. And Philip Fulmer's like, excuse me, sir. My name is Philip Fulmer. And I am in Knoxville, Tennessee, as your boss.
No, my name is Coach Fulmer to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Call me Coach.
And so that's going to be a natural meltdown. But the team that's always there's two that I think of. Ohio State's always very much on brand as being they're going to lose a game that they shouldn't. They'll win a few games in a row to get people talking about them. And then it'll take another loss out of nowhere to keep them out of the college football playoff because they're insufferable and nobody wants them there outside of Ohio State fans. And then the other one is Florida. Florida's going to suck and they're going to keep robbing and stealing and beating up people and cheating on things. And so that will also be very Florida on brand.
I think also, this podcast as a Georgia Homer podcast is very on brand.
We started as an Atlanta Braves.
I know. How many homers is Jeff Francoeur going to hit this year?
I think four.
Four? I got it.
Four.
I can see that.
Which non-SEC school, again, this is from Morgan Will, which non-SEC school would you most want to play for assuming you were a screaming defensive end?
Oh, play for as a player.
Which non-SEC school would you most want to play for assuming you were a screaming defensive end?
Oh, that's to me, that's easy. That's the Big Ten. Everybody over there is super slow. So if I'm a fast defensive end, I'm going to rack up sacks and get myself a fat paycheck when
that's
I go
true,
to the
yeah.
NFL.
That's true, yeah. That's a good one. But which team in the Big Ten? I mean, you kind of have to say Ohio State, but I don't want to play for Ohio State.
No, I don't want to play for Purdue.
I'd play for Nebraska. I think Scott Frost I think he's so much fun. They're so nice. They're nice people. They love corn.
I'm on record as being a huge Minnesota homer, so I would definitely play for...
I forgot about the Golden Gophers. Yep. Why not? Sure. And it's cold.
And they got PJ Fleck now, and he's insane.
Oh, yeah. Row the boat.
Yeah, man.
All right. That is our list of internet-submitted questions.
No Miguel Almiron questions? That's ridiculous.
Who? Miggy. They're playing in, yeah, Miggy.
Who?
Miguel Almirón.
Who? Does he play soccer?
Oh, sorry, that's a soccer joke.
And Atlanta United.
Oh, see? Forward. I didn't know.
He's fantastic.
I didn't know. I thought he was
speaking of on brand.
Should we do another beer?
By the way, I didn't weigh in on this red and black. It's really good. I really do enjoy it.
It is a cloudy beer. There's sediment. They did not filter this beer. I didn't feel it was unfiltered in the mouth.
No, yeah, and I've got chunks in the bottom of mine too. Yeah. That, which is not. I mean, whatever. That there's if it's not filtered. I thought it was good. Yeah, it's tasty. I know nothing. I learned that Southern Brewing Company was a thing like 20 minutes before we started recording.
Friend of the show, Megan, was actually enjoying one of their beers last night.
Yeah, it was not super sweet, not super tart.
All right, the next beer is Watermelon Chicken Grits, spelled Gritz, Golden Ale with Watermelon. This is, I'm already dreading this.
This is from the folks at Against the Grain who just DGAF about whatever they name a beer. So this is a golden...
shower. I'm not done pouring.
And not handing me any.
Story of my life, I keep him home.
We have nothing to talk about. We're waiting for Russ to pour the beer. Well, I guess I'll eat some cheesies.
So this is a tall boy. We all know how I feel about tall boys. So we're pouring this into glasses. And it's
you really went off on that, by the way.
I have strong feelings.
Really leaned into it.
People, like, if you haven't figured this out by now, I can't help you. It's an off-white head. Golden beer. Tony's eating snacks in the microphone.
Give me a glass of beer already. God, you're so slow. Thank you. You know,
I'm going to self-eject one day and just declare the position of co-host.
Excuse me, sir. This is a family podcast.
No, it is not.
Yeah, it's a golden ale, and it looks like a golden ale.
Surprise!
I wouldn't call it brilliantly clear, but it's very clear.
What is that from? Is that from Hee Haw?
I don't. Surprise!
Surprise!
Or is Andy Griffin show?
I think it's Andy Griffith. I think. I think it's Gomer Powell.
All right, smelling.
Kept one bullet in his pocket just in case.
Watermelon chicken grits.
Against the brewery, Kentucky. Against the Grain Brewery from Louisville, Kentucky. We're happy to present one of the most countrified ideas we've had yet. When Ron Clutch, Skinny DeVilla, Buffalo Style, and Fish Scales came with plans for a brew so good you could drink it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, we had no choice but to make them Atlantucky Brewing Boys proud. Oh, I hate this copy.
Atlantucky?
Atlantucky. So whether you're balling on a budget or not, you'll be in total happiness chugging watermelon, chicken, and grits.
So it's just watermelon golden ale then. That's, I was hoping for more. I was hoping there might be actual chicken in it.
I just kind of flash back to that commercial, whatever it was, when it was like watching the football game. I think it was Buffalo Wild Wings, and you were watching the football game at like your buddy's house who fancied himself as a craft brewer. And he's like, that one is a hot dog.
It's a like bratwurst in the beer. Yeah.
I'm going to take another sip, but it's not looking good.
I mean, it's just kind of boring.
The watermelon's weak.
Yeah, I don't get any. I mean, with a beer like this, and especially the can is like pink, like kind of watermelon flesh colored.
It's a tall boy.
And the concern is that it's just going to be like an overly sweet watermelon Jolly Rancher.
But it's not. Maybe that was their fear.
But it's like way understated. It's, if anything, I'm getting like a little bit of watermelon rind.
Yeah.
Or something. Well, all right. So that's kind of a disappointment. We're not going to do a song because this episode is already getting a little long in the tooth. Do you guys like, have you ever had the Flamin' Hot Cheetos?
Takis?
No, the actual like Flamin' Hot Cheetos. I mean, Takis we did. I think we did Takis 2 years ago when we did this episode actually. Last time. Yeah,
that's when we did the
Takis
Citra.
Fuego are fantastic.
But isn't Cheeto Flamin'? Or isn't that them just trying to compete with Takis?
No, and actually, this is I don't know how I know this, but Flamin' Hot Cheetos actually has a really interesting origin story. There was an immigrant who was working as a custodian at a school, and he had the idea. I don't know where, how he facilitated it at a school, but he had the idea
child
of
labor.
You know that Mexican street corn.
Yes.
That they,
yes.
they roast and then they hit it with a bunch of kick-ass spices and maybe some cotija cheese and mm-hmm. whatever else. He was thinking, why don't we do a spicy version of that as a snack food, as a Cheeto? And like somehow got in touch with whoever makes Cheetos. Who was that?
Frito-Lay.
Frito-Lay. and pitched this flavor idea and they bought into it and hired him. And now he's like an executive on their product team. For having this idea, and it's one of their best-selling things.
And it's why we need immigrants.
I mean, we wouldn't have Flamin' Hot Cheetos. So
okay, that's interesting that it wasn't a direct like threat from Takis that made him do it. Takis is their own thing.
I happen to have a bag here of extra Flamin' Hot.
Oh, God, of course you do.
The top says twice as hot. And the Flamin' Hot ones, I mean, they're not like that hot. They're spicy. They're
this former custodian's like, really making his money.
Oh, man.
And did you hear that Takis is in the news for possibly like putting a kid in the hospital?
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's turns out
awful.
It's not good things in them.
I mean, yeah, I can see that. Oh, my God. These look angry.
Well, what color are they, Tony? You're right. That's like an angry, ooh, shriveled up penis.
This is going to be a problem.
Twice as hot as Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Here we go.
Oh, you didn't even take a small bite. You popped the whole thing in your mouth.
I mean,
I feel uncomfortable eating this.
Just there's like a little, yeah, I get where they're coming from with this. It's spicy, but you're not going to hurt yourself.
No.
I think you're barely bordering on standard Mexican salsa.
It has the top, the same top, like orangey Cheetos color on the bag, but then the bottom is all black.
You're going to die.
These fiery, pinkish red, angry looking Cheeto sticks.
No. Not hot. So now I know I don't have to try Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
This is interesting. On the back, you know how people are... When they look at nutrition information, they always complain about how small the serving size is. Or
I hear that a lot.
Well, you know, I mean, like, okay, good one. There's just like, yeah, it's not that bad for you. It's only 180 calories, but a serving size is one tablespoon or whatever. They have on here 28 grams, about 21 pieces. But then over here, that's on the left side under the nutrition facts. On the right side of the same part of the back of the bag, there's this hole where they could have advertising. It's this thing, what's a serving? And it's all typographically designed. 21 Cheetos, extra Flamin' Hot snacks make a serving. If you can handle all that heat, then wow, you're most deserving. It rhymes, it's a poem. What more can you do with 21 Cheetos snacks?
I could build a small fort.
Oh, and then down here, looks like somebody submitted a eat them with 21 sips of water before the thermometer cracks. It's like a Dr. Seuss book.
Twice and that's the story of how Robert Frost became an executive at Cheetos.
Yeah. I took the road less traveled and it made all
why
the
do
difference.
You keep eating them? They're not good.
Now I'm hooked. They're good.
You just got to keep the burn going?
Okay. What stories are going to come out of college football this season?
Mississippi State is going to be very good. That's going to be surprising to a lot of people, but they're going to be good.
Did not see that coming.
They're loaded with senior talent, loaded with it. And had Dan Mullen stayed.
That was going to be my question, is like first year new coach, they're going to be good?
Mm-hmm. Which actually, if they had first year not new coach, they would have a legitimate shot at winning the SEC West, in my opinion. I know a lot of people are going to listen to that and think that I'm absolutely crazy.
No, you're crazy for thinking a lot of people are going to listen to this.
But that's the thing, is that Mississippi State was a 9-4 team last year and was young. Is a year older. Their senior, their quarterback's coming back. And honestly, everything that was good about Penn State's offense left Penn State and is now the head coach. His name's Joe Moorhead, excuse me. True story.
That sounds like a TV lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joe Moorhead Esquire.
Moorhead is back on the practice. But like, but he, everything that was really, really exciting about Penn State was him. It wasn't James Franklin as much. And he left to be the head coach of Mississippi State. He's going to be great. He's going to be, he really is going to do a great job. And if you even look at the recruiting rankings right now, Mississippi State is recruiting way ahead of most of the other folks in the SEC. And granted, it's not the football season yet since we don't date things here.
But does that mean they're just cheating?
No.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, we know typically how Mississippi, the state, recruiting goes. But yeah.
But also keep in mind that recruiting nowadays, it's something that I hate, but it is all about press and media and everything like that. And these guys, you get a group of kids, and instead of saying you as an individual will come here, what they're doing is they're doing this group recruiting. And that you get, you find a group of kids that all want to buy into the idea that they're going to be the greatest recruiting class a school or a city or you know, a town or a state.
And then they start recruiting each other.
And then they start recruiting each other. And so what you do is you find one or two kids who really buy into it, and then they get all the rest of them. And that's how these massive recruiting classes, you know, loaded with talent are happening. These kids didn't want to come to Georgia because Georgia was above and beyond the best school out there. They came to Georgia because they got sold on the idea. Have you taken a look and seen how long it's been since they've won a championship? Come there and be the first class to do it.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you'll go down in immortality.
I'm being actively recruited.
Are you?
The ads in my Instagram feed are for erectile dysfunction drugs.
Oh, sweet.
And hair loss.
I hear that they're based upon search history.
Fuck off. I'm still strong like wood.
I mean,
that's well, that got that. Serious.
Jeez. I didn't drop any cookies into your browser.
Have you guys ever watched ED porn?
Just.
I love NPR. I don't know. It's the first thing I thought of.
Which I'm looking at Georgia's schedule right now. Which games does Georgia lose?
Florida.
Did we lose at LSU?
That's possible. You ever been to LSU?
I have not.
That is a scary, scary place to go. We went at night, and I've never heard more different dialects of English in one place.
It is a hell of a place. It really is. I mean, LSU is probably the best chance. A lot of people rag in Georgia because their schedule is cupcake soft this year. But, I mean, LSU is going to be serviceable enough to beat Georgia. There's always the chance of the Florida game going sideways. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you get Auburn at home, of which people are going to be fired up for that game, regardless of how good or not good Auburn is, which I think, by the way, they're not going to be good, and they're going to be pissed off that they extended Gus Malzahn on last year.
Yay! We got Massachusetts at home, thank God.
Oh, but Austin Peay has a long snapper. Jesus, we got to watch him.
I didn't know Vince Dooley was your grandfather.
I love that Vince Dooley quote.
I know.
It was a Larry Munson quote, wasn't it? It was Larry trolling Vince. He said, they could be playing anybody, and he would talk to Coach Dooley and be like, yeah, but they got a long snapper. Coach Dooley, aren't you worried about that long snapper? He's going to give us a yard for that mile. What do you think? We'd get Vince rattled before a game.
Yeah, he would. He would go and change. He said sometimes he would even change the game plan based upon the pessimism of Larry Munson. Like, I didn't even know of this kid. Munson knows him. But no, I mean, Georgia's schedule is – like seriously, like Charmin soft. And so LSU is probably the best opportunity. Auburn is another one. Florida is another one. But Tennessee is a dumpster fire still. Georgia Tech sucks. That's about
but
it.
But you can't really discount a rivalry game.
At South Carolina?
That's an awful place to play. Not because of like fans like LSU where it's intense and crazy. It's just because it sucks. It's in the middle of nowhere surrounded by asphalt parking lots.
There's a lot of people buying into South Carolina, but I think if you buy into the environment, it is hard to win in Columbia. Mm-hmm. It really, really is. But I don't see it.
Did you know they take that stadium down in the off season and use that land for farmland?
Not surprised at all.
It's not true.
No, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, could you, if you've seen that stadium in person and the parking lot that surrounds it.
It's an erector set.
You
just take a wrench to it. And
would
the whole
you ever
down.
Be surprised within it with that or Tennessee Stadium if you said, look, the stadium's temporary. We're going to get a new one soon. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, I totally see that.
So, last story. That was actually a friend of ours named Jim told that story to my former spouse on the way to South Carolina. So, Ellen spent the first half of the game looking around for the keys for the Erector set, like to bring the stadium down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so about the fourth quarter, she grabbed Jim, slammed him up against the wall and said, "You lied to me, didn't you?" And he just broke down in tears laughing.
That's a good one. That's all a good right. one.
Kit, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for making this an annual tradition for us, because this way it's less work.
Even though we skipped all of 2017. Well, we didn't just skip this episode. We skipped the whole shebang.
Well, you got to have goals.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been available anyway. I was going to be a dad. Yeah. Subsequently became one.
And the kid's still alive?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
nice.
Coming up on one.
Nice.
First birthday is about the parents for surviving, not the kid.
Yeah, no.
Final thoughts on the beers or the snacks?
The watermelon thing is a waste of my time.
I took one sip.
I'm really excited to get my hands on more Southern Brewing stuff.
That was really good.
I like regular Cheetos the best.
I ate a handful of those double hot ones, and I still have this like low
buzzing
in my mouth. Oh. And so like I'm still going to eat a little bit more of those. Those are good.
I like the cheesies, but not better than Cheetos. I just know Cheetos. Yeah. Cheetos are like old friends.
I don't think they would work as well out of my solo cup.
Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Go to iTunes. I checked. No one has rated us recently. Rate us 5 stars and then trash us. We'll read it on here. You know, we will. Russ will read it because he's the reader. He's the one beer, one song reader.
Because Tony likes it when I read.
Yeah. Thanks to Kit for coming out. We'll have you out again
soon.
Thank
y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.